Welcome to the Prospector Industry Insights Podcast. I'm your host, Trey McDonald. Prospector is the world's largest raw material database. Register for free and start finding raw materials faster. Today we're speaking with food expert Jill Frank about insects as a protein source and some of the interesting trends she saw in alternative proteins while at the IFT show in Chicago last month. Jill Frank is our food industry expert and has been writing articles for the Prospector Knowledge Center since 2013. Prior to joining us, Jill was a bakery application specialist for DuPont Nutrition and spent time in multiple roles at other companies like Gerber Products. Jill holds a Bachelor of Science in Bakery Science and Management from Kansas State University. Jill is also a certified food scientist and is the president of her local chapter of the Institute of Food Technologists. With that, I'd like to welcome Jill. Jill, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Perfect. So Jill, we'll go ahead and dive right in. I know you had mentioned insects as a protein source in your most recent IFT article. Can you tell me a little bit more about that? And more importantly, were there samples?
Yeah, there were some lovely fruit roll-ups, actually. And you really couldn't tell the difference between regular fruit roll-ups and cricket-containing fruit roll-ups based on my recollection of my daughter's when she was younger.
That's interesting. You're a braver person than I am. So Jill, can you tell me what is driving the push for alternative protein source and why crickets?
There is going to be a population boom that's going to explode to about 9 billion by 2050. And with the limitations that are happening with resources like droughts and impacting crops and food supply, crickets are being promoted as a sustainable protein source. They're going to require much less land, much less energy, much less food and water than what we have today as existing animal sources. They're really prolific and they're very nutritious.
Sure. So I guess, Jill, knowing that there is going to be a difference between the animal-based proteins and insect-based proteins, what's going to be, I guess, kind of the breakdown in resources?
Well, beef requires about 112 liters of water per gram of protein. And then if you think about the next step, pork would be about 57. And so you're seeing a graph in your mind that's, you know, one big tall thing and a nice little bar next to it that's about half. Well, crickets are at 2 versus that 112 compared to beef.
Wow. Wow.
So that's significantly more efficient for use of resources.
So do you think we're going to start seeing cricket farms and cricket ranches pop up?
Oh, they're already there.
That's interesting. Jill, I know one of the things that I kind of struggle with, and many others might, is to me, eating insects seems like something you'd see on Fear Factor. Is this a common practice in other parts of the world?
Actually, insects are consumed regularly in some Asian and tropical cultures already. So it's not as far out there as you think. Also, we're not talking whole crickets here. We're talking a powder that you could add to things. So you're not eating a cricket on a stick or something like that, like you'd see on Fear Factor.
Good to know. Good to know. Jill, can you talk a little bit about any sort of research being done, either from a collegiate or a government-sponsored initiative?
There is actually a lot of work being done, and significant parts of it are being done with University of Nebraska and their food processing center. There's a company called All Things Bugs that has a USDA grant, and they are working on exploring insects as a food ingredient. And they have this wonderful woman named Lori Keeler working at the Food Processing Center. She told me all about the work that they're doing on incorporating the cricket powder into foods. And she's using commercial methods to make pasta and tortillas right now.
Interesting. Very interesting. So I know you just mentioned pastas and tortillas, but where else might we see these either powders or insects in our commercial products in the U.S.?
Well, let me start off by talking about the fact that there is already a body of chefs working on this. They're introducing this to kids. And one of the speakers at IFT was talking about working with schools to have cooking competitions to put cricket powder into things. And that's where the fruit roll-ups actually came from.
Okay.
At the IFT. But in terms of commercially made products out there, there's a product that had a Kickstarter campaign called Chirps, and they are tortilla chips which have beans and corn in them, and they're already commercially available on Amazon. It goes on how many places there are. There's a bug festival in Austin, Texas, and they actually have, you know, a food festival of bugs. They have products like Hopper Foods granola, and they have Crickers crackers, and then they have chefs going by the moniker of the Bug Chef. That was kind of exciting to me. I want to go.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
There's another example of a global product is a mealworm spread I found when looking through the Global New Products database. Well, it was under the name Green Bugs, and it was mealworm and tomato type spreads in Belgium.
Interesting. Very cool. Very cool. So, Jill, what are some of the challenges that you might see in using insects as a sustainable source of protein?
Oh, you've already mentioned one of them, and that is the fear factor, or the ooh factor, if you will. And, you know, introducing the products to children is definitely a way to get their parents to think about trying it and to be a little more adventurous. And then you have those consumers who are going to try anything once. So they're going to tell their friends it's great,
sure.
And then they'll tell their friends. We'll have that kind of cascading effect. But to keep them coming back, the flavor is really going to have to be there and have to be comparable to existing products on the market.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So what about in terms of regulation? Would that make more consumers feel safe in eating some of these insect-based proteins? What work is being done to regulate?
Well, in terms of regulatory, the FDA already has rules in place regarding insects for the intended use of food. They have rules specifically stating that the insects have to be raised just for human consumption. You can't just go out to a pasture and wild catch yourself a bunch of crickets and then eat them.
Sure. So very similar to these insect ranches and farms that we talked about earlier.
Definitely. And you also cannot go to the pet store and buy the crickets that are intended for animal consumption. So those crickets now have to go to the lizards. They can't go for human food.
Sure.
With that, though, there's going to be a waiting period to get a supply consistent for manufacturing. What happens if suddenly your product has a high demand? If you don't have a consistent supply of cricket protein to go into the product, you're not going to have a consistent product on the market.
So in terms of how do you see this, I guess, being affected in the long term, what are companies going to need to think about when they're trying to get a long-term supply of crickets, knowing that regulation is already in the process?
Well, they're going to have certain guarantees in place, just as you do with commodity stocks right now. They're going to have a guarantee so that the risk to the cricket farmer is mitigated, and you're going to have that same guarantee for consistency of supply. And I don't see this just for the bigger players in the market. I'm seeing this for even the small person who has a regional distribution.
So I know one of the challenges or one of the issues you might see with any sort of protein source is the allergy risk involved. Since this is a new type of protein, what allergy risks are involved with insects?
Definitely, yes, there is. There's a voluntary label right now for those allergic to shrimp or shellfish in terms of having a risk if they're going to consume this product.
Very good to know. Thank you for that. And Jill, I know everything seems to be green, organic, gluten-free. How will insect proteins affect these type of claims for consumer products?
I think there may be potential issues with getting kosher or organic certifications. I don't know if the certification bodies have specifically laid out frameworks in terms of how they're going to regulate insects in getting organic certification. That may be a yet-to-be-seen type issue.
Sure, so further down the road, it sounds like.
Yes, definitely.
Well, Jill, that does look like all the time we have for today. I just wanted to thank you again for joining us in a really informative podcast. We look forward to having you back for the next one.
Thank you for having me.
Well, again, everybody, thank you so much for joining us. We'd like to encourage everyone listening to please give us your feedback. Let us know what sort of topics you'd like to hear about in future podcasts. You can let us know in the comments on the podcast page on the UL Prospector Knowledge Center. If you'd like to be notified of future podcasts, you can sign up in the iTunes Store, Google Play, or via the RSS link on the podcast page. Again, thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next time.